The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
And we have our Friday forum to look back on some of the stories that captured our attention this week. And of course, this week's headlines revolved a lot around the vote of no confidence for Simon Coveney and the resulting resignation of Fianna Fáil's Mark McSherry. Then there was the proposed leap in the pension plan, saying that you'd have to get in 40 years of good hard labour before you get a state pension. And of course, more recently, we have the DUP claiming that Michael D. Higgins has snubbed the Queen. So quite a bit to get through. And helping me get through it all is Alan Farrell, who is Fine Gael TD and Climate Action spokesperson, Niamh Smith, Fianna Fáil TD and spokesperson on media, tourism, arts, culture, sport and the Gaeltacht, and Pather Tobin, leader of AN2 and TD for the Meath West constituency. And I suppose it is logical to start, Niamh Smith, with you, given that you are the one who must have the condolences on the departure of Mark McSherry.
Good morning, Anton. I thought it was just ladies first, chivalry. He's not dead. Yeah, of course, we have had the disappointment of my colleague and friend, Mark McSherry, who has resigned from the party. But I suppose Mark has, it's important to say, he's a very capable and able politician, parliamentarian, and a very valued member of Fianna Fáil too.
Was it the excuse he was waiting for?
He has been very vocal in terms of his unhappiness with the direction of the party over the last 12 months. There's no secret about that. And he was always very forthright in that viewpoint. And I suppose this was the tipping point for him. I suppose when you feel that disgruntlement, there does come a tipping point if you don't feel you're being heard. And I think on this
occasion, he was saying nobody was being heard. His assertion was that the authoritarian regime that now pertains under Micheál Martin listens to you, nods, and then does exactly what Micheál Martin wants to do.
Well, I'd have to say it wasn't easy for anybody, perhaps, during this motion of no confidence. It was difficult. And I suppose COVID, it's maybe some of the repercussions for all the political parties, the fact that we don't get to sit down and have the same kind of trashing out of ideas and direction and all of that. And yes, it was a tipping point for Mark, but I certainly don't think it'll be the end of Mark McSherry and Fianna Fáil.
Alan Farrell, you were lucky, I suppose, in that you retained all of your members through the no confidence process. You didn't come out of it undamaged.
We did not. It has been a regrettable period of time. I won't say week, but it's because it's been a lot longer than a week. I think, you know, Simon has apologised both in person and to the coalition partners in Fianna Fáil and the Greens and others, and did so, as I mentioned, in person to members of the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party at our think-in this week in Trim. I accept his apology, and I think the motion of confidence.
Are you exasperated? Do you look back and think, why did we shoot ourselves in both feet completely unnecessarily?
It was a self-inflicted wound, and it damaged us.
It was several of them in a row, I would have thought.
And it was a very difficult period for all involved. And yes, it was frustrating for me as an individual member of the parliamentary party. But we will come through it. There are things the government can do better in terms of the process that has been identified as being a problem. In terms of envoys and or any other appointments for that matter.
Yeah, but this is not exactly a searing revelation. Like, anybody looking at that process would not think there are subtle things here that might be improved in the system.
No, there's a much broader conversation to be had about whether or not we would have had this conversation at all had it been a person in public life, for instance, who would be particularly good in terms of LGBTQI matters, or if it had been a former civil servant or something like that, would we have spent 7 weeks talking about it? But that being said, there are things that we can learn from the process. The Minister for Foreign Affairs had said as much, and I believe the Taoiseach agrees with that position and has said as much as well.
And in the aftermath of all of this, how is your relationship?
I would say it's still quite good. Aren't we sitting here smiling at each other, Anton?
Well, Pather Tobin, you have been observing all this, I assume, with some glee, because it has been a very good week for those in opposition.
Well, it's amazing, actually, to listen to Alan say that, you know, he still doesn't realise why there were several weeks of discussion on this issue. There were several weeks of discussion because there was no recruitment process, no advertisement, no transparency, no competition, no qualification criteria. That the role was gifted to an individual because she was a friend and she had the access to half a dozen ministers' mobile phones. And the frustrating thing is, you know, I hear political parties talk about political reform all the time. But the easiest political reform to implement is simply create a consequence for wrongdoing within political parties. And as long as there's no consequence, as long as there's no accountability, you know, you're never going to reform people's behaviour.
Well, hang on for a second, Padraig, because just bear with me, because we have a slight technical issue, which is the headphones that Alan should be listening to you to aren't providing you. So let me summarise what you're saying. What Padraig has said so far, Alan, is that there needs to be a situation where there can be punishment within political parties for wrongdoing or for unethical behaviour. And until that is in place, nothing will change.
My response to that, and I'm sorry, Peter, but unfortunately I couldn't hear you, but my response to that is, and it was a theme of the conversation that was had on Wednesday evening at the vote of confidence, is that what was being suggested on the part of Sinn Féin and those who supported the motion of no confidence in the Minister for Foreign Affairs was that the punishment suggested was not appropriate for what had transpired.
As in resignation or removal of office.
Resignation or removal, neither of which was appropriate for what transpired. I don't think for a moment that any member of the Oireachtas, bar perhaps one that I can think of by name, doubts the sincerity nor ability of Simon Coveney.
Okay, Padraig Tobin, response?
Yeah, but see, this is the problem. People are listening to this. They see a friend given a job, true cronyism, and they see FOI material shredded by a government minister. They see a designated minister under lobbying law, you know, being influenced by a blizzard of texts by somebody, and, you know, lobbying law not being adhered to. They also see this incredible situation that's unfolding in front of us of, you know, the criminal offence of a leaking from cabinet. Where, you know, I put in a parliamentary question to the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste, and the Minister for Justice to ask, is there any investigation in that? And all three come back and say that they're involved in no investigation into that. So it just seems like, you know, there's no consequence, no accountability to this type of behaviour. And just human nature, the way it is, if you guarantee a person that there's no consequence to wrongdoing, you will have a repeat of that behaviour over and over again, and we'll be talking about the same type of stuff in 5, 6, 7 years' time.
Gotcha.
And that's just wrong. We should be reforming this political
indeed
situation.
We have that point, Alan, or Padraig. I'm going to bring Alan in, and in a second, Niamh, I want your view on whether or not this leak analysis and leak investigation is going to keep this matter alive. Alan.
Yeah, I can just about hear what Padraig is saying, but I think in terms of consequences and learnings, I've mentioned about what I think could be learned from the process from a government perspective, but in terms of consequences, I mean, the consequences on Simon Coveney and the Fine Gael party are profound. They have been discussed both at the parliamentary session on Wednesday evening when we debated this, and throughout the airwaves for the last 7 or 8 weeks. So the consequences are clear for everybody to see. You know, would Simon have approached this
as in popularity and potential polls?
As in consequences for one's career?
It's not a censure.
Second,
it's not a censure, though.
But then again, you know, I'm at a disadvantage. I cannot hear Padraig, but what I can allude to is what has been repeated by the Tánaiste, by the minister himself, by other members of the Fine Gael parliamentary party, by the Taoiseach himself, in relation to what occurred and what and the learnings that should come from that in terms of it never happening again.
Niamh, what about the leaks? And because that, at the point at which it seemed everybody was finally out the gap, this hair got set running and it continues to run. Is this going to make the issue drag on and drag on?
Well, that really is entirely up to the opposition. As you've alluded to, we have spent the last 6, 7, 8 weeks discussing this, and I certainly don't think either government or opposition really want to put themselves in that position discussing something futile. That's not to belittle the matter of leaks. That's a hugely important issue, and it's something that cannot be tolerated. It happens at parliamentary parties. I have to say, much to my shock when I arrived as a Dáil deputy to see how leaks, you know, happen at parliamentary parties. But a cabinet, that's a whole different level.
Ah, come on, the cabinet has leaked like a sieve since there was a cabinet.
Well, unfortunately it is, but I think, you know, we have to take it seriously, and I think lessons have to be learned here. And that has to stop. And I just was interested to see John Bruton, a former Fine Gael Taoiseach, last night talk about, at one point when he was Taoiseach, he actually did order for an investigation to be done, and he said it was absolutely futile. So if that's his lived experience, let's not waste any time. Let's get on with housing, let's get on with education, let's get on with our health service where there's massive waiting lists, let's get on with the debate of why the restrictions aren't lifted within our maternity units.
The fact, though, that it is the cultural norm with the way things operate doesn't mean you should get away with it if caught.
Absolutely not. I'm all for putting procedures in place, so whether it comes to appointments or confidential discussions at Cabinet, that there are rules and regulations that are adhered to.
OK, now hang on. We can't spend all of our time reventilating the issue of the no confidence and the Catherine Zapongate, because we have the critical issue of whether or not the President, Michael D. Higgins, has snubbed Queen Elizabeth. So let me get, Pádraig Tobin, your view on that. I should say, by the way, that we have been running a poll on this on Twitter, which is, of course, a poll of our listenership and followership. It isn't a scientific poll, and I'll give you the results of that in a second. Pádraig Tobin, was he right?
Well, I think he'd no choice in the matter at all. Like the idea that a president of any country would attend an event to mark or commemorate, you know, the partition of his or her country is ridiculous, to be honest. The partition of this country has been an absolute disaster. It has caused, you know, incredible difficulties for Ireland, north and south, for the last 100 years. You know, it's institutionalised discrimination. It created a second-class citizen in the north of Ireland. It sundered, you know, townlands and communities right across the border region. And it hammered the social and economic development of this country for decades. And the idea that, you know, we would go along and commemorate that and give it some level of validity or even positive understanding is wrong. And I think people are missing the point here. We do need reconciliation. We do need to reach out the hand of friendship to our Unionist brothers and sisters. But that should be built on a pluralism. And pluralism means that there are differences and we have to accept those differences. It doesn't mean dressing up in one another's political clothes.
But hang on for a minute. Alan, give me your view on this. There's the argument that says that, and the way it is being characterised, including by myself, is that this is a commemoration of partition. But can you not look at it through the lens that says, look, 100 years on, this is a fact. It is a thing that occurred, and that part of peace and reconciliation, as we know, is that we all wrap arms around difficult things, and this would have been symbolically useful.
I agree with the sentiment of what you said. I think that, I mean, look, it's very easy for me to say the president is the titular head of state. He's his own man. He has his own voice and he used it. And that decision is his to make. In equal measure, one has to recognise what Pádraig referred to there. I just about heard him reference the hand of friendship, which I do accept his point. That in the context of peace and reconciliation, which I understand was actually referenced in the invitation, which I heard read out. Unfortunately, though, I haven't seen it. So it's difficult for me to understand fully the sectarian nature or not of.
But where do you stand on it? Do you think he's right or no?
Well, I think it's a matter for the president. If I were in his shoes, I perhaps would not have responded to a political statement from the DUP.
Would you have gone though?
I would really have to see the invitation personally, have it in my hand or on a screen and read it to understand, you know, what we're being led to believe today on the airwaves and on the television programmes is that it referenced the partition of Ireland and the creation of Northern Ireland.
And made the egregious error of calling him President of the Republic.
Well, no,
let's be
clear. I think the DUP did that. I'm not sure that the invitation did. But could I just clarify as well, this was a religious service, a non-denominational service. President Higgins has done this in the past. President Higgins, I know, a number of years ago with the Queen of England, attended a Catholic service and then shortly thereafter walked across the street and attended a Protestant service as well.
Final word to you, Niamh. Would you have gone? Were you in his shoes?
I think the President has taken the right decision on this. And, you know, he has been a champion of reconciliation all through his political career. And I think he has the autonomy and the independence to make this decision himself. I've heard lots of
commentators. Did he snub the Queen?
I don't think he snubbed the Queen. This is about a commemoration of partition. No matter what way people try to dress it up, that's what it is. That type of language I understand to be used in the invitation. And that's why I believe he's taken the right decision.
Well, our Twitter poll agrees with you. 82% of the responses that we got to at Pat Kenny NT, and again, not scientific, it is a catchment of our listenership and followership. 82% saying he was right, 10% saying he wasn't, and 8% squarely in the I don't care bracket. Big thank you to Alan Farrell, Dublin Fine Gael TD, Pádraig Tobin, ANTU leader and TD for Meath West, and Niamh Smith, Fianna Fáil TD for Cavan Monaghan.